eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you. Yes, I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you.
God bless you.
You love him? To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we have sinned. Holy, holy, holy. Amen. Shining in the light of your glory, your power and love as we sing, holy, 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 holy. I want.
Amen and amen. You want to see him? Amen. Because that's what we're here for, isn't it? Brother Joe gave me something I thought was very interesting, and I'll just read it to you while the musicians are going back. It says, if you have food in your fridge, clothes on your back, a roof over your head, and a place to sleep, you are richer than 75% of the world. If you have money in the bank, your wallet, and some spare change, you're among the top 8% of the world's wealthy. Now, see, that's not on the downside. That means it's we're in that. If you woke up this morning with more health than illness, you are more blessed than the million people who will not survive this week. If you have never experienced the danger of battle or the agony of imprisonment or torture or horrible pains of starvation, you are luckier than 50 million people alive and suffering. If you can read this message, you're more fortunate than 3 billion people in the world who cannot read it all. 7 billion people in the world and 3 billion people can't even read. That's something, isn't it? Yeah. Amen. Good to see you up in the house of the Lord. If you like turning your scriptures, turn to Revelation 1 where we've been reading from. Now remember, the Lord willing, Wade and June will be traveling back tomorrow. He's preaching for Brother Claude today. And just pray that the Lord would be with him. I think they announced that Brother Dean's, he down at Brother Harris. Is he preaching for him this weekend? He's down at Brother Harris. Okay, we'll put it that way. All right. So just remember that and pray for these and and all. All right. Now, while you're standing, we want to get a couple announcements. That way you can't say you didn't hear it. As of starting this afternoon, all right, the musicians are asked to come and play, and we've toyed up and down of how many minutes and what to do and backwards and forth, but the musicians are asked to come and play 10 minutes. Some want 15, some different, but the musicians will come and start playing 10 minutes before any of the services, Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday night, 10 minutes early, all right? That way then they will be responsible, the musicians, of getting here and, being here in the church and playing at 10 minutes before the service and 10 minutes of live music. No singing now, not to sing with it or anything. Just playing as people are coming in. We have the other one running, but then we will turn over to 10 minutes. So then Josh will be cutting the sound system off at 10 minutes till, and that'll put it to the basis that they will be starting their playing. So the musicians will be responsible for, getting together and figuring out what they want to do. We will do it basically as we would do. The piano will be the leading type of instrument to start and play, because that'll keep it all to going, and then we will have it on that basis starting as of this afternoon. Okay, everybody understand? 10 minutes early, music being played, not to singing with it, just playing the music and having it, you know, up on that basis. All right. Also now, to help with the congestion that we have on the outward of trying to come up and coming in. All right. Now this is going to require some of you adults, you know, to participate in something, because what we're going to do is Sister Rachel and Sister Monica, they want a time, because, see, they don't have, I sit back there so I see who comes in and what comes in, and see, they don't get 15 minutes. So we've done announced, don't go through that room now. And see, don't do that form of doing and causing them trouble, you know. But they're going to start 10 minutes early. That will be 10 minutes till 10. So now if you come through, that door will be locked from out there. Don't come. The other door will be closed the other way. Don't go through. You're not supposed to be doing it anyway. You're already supposed to be up here. Okay? So don't go in there beating and banging around and everything, because the Sunday school class will be going on at 10 minutes till on Sunday morning, and then that will put them getting out the 20 minutes after, and that way the children can come up and go to the bathroom and everything, and they will be, they bring them up to the bathrooms and everything, so your children will be brought up to here, and they will be, you know, the classes will be sent to the bathroom. And that'll get that congestion out to where that when then you're coming up from the Sunday school, some of you are going to the bathroom, you know, when you come up. So that'll put a little bit of a different situations and all. And I said, then that's going to mean that some of your parents are going to have to get here a little bit earlier. Well, sometimes some of you get here 5 after. Now, I'm just honest and I'm not mean, but just hateful. Okay? There's a difference in the word, you know, but you don't do that to your work. All right? This is more important than your work. And see, then that's what I said. You don't come in downstairs and causing a lot of confusion over in the other side there while the Sunday school classes is going on, you know, and all like that, because we will, if necessary, we will assign a deacon to make sure that you come in and all, and we should be in here. I've never been one to where that you got to do right down, but we should at least be in here 15 minutes before service starts. 30 minutes is better, but that's hard. I'm honest. You travel a long ways, and I try to be as nice as I can about that. But we need to be here 15 minutes early, come into services, and sit down and praying and listening to the music, you know, being played. Then the live music will start 10 minutes before the service time, and that will give you time to relax a little bit and get everything in the way, you know, straight. So does everybody understand that? Starting this afternoon, from then on, 10 minutes before the music will start of the piano playing, you know, and the musical instruments playing of live music, and not singing with them, just, you know, letting them play and letting it be a time. And then we'll have that from now on that services. And then the Sunday school class will be starting 10 minutes early of Sister Monica's now and Sister Rachel's. Now, don't come up tomorrow or next week and say, Bobby, you gonna start 10 minutes early? I'm telling you what time, all right? Everybody understand? It's for those two classes only, to where we can get the children upstairs to be able to do away with a little confusion out at the front. So everybody understand? Okay, all right, then that'll take care of that. So I've got myself notes to write down here to do, but, you know, that we had a good time yesterday at the Bible study. We've just finished up on all the officers of the church, offices and officers of the church, and we will be back on regular questions the next time. So just remember that, okay? Revelations 1, I think that's all the announcements. See, because Brother Joe starts, they start the video, and somewhere on the order of 15 minutes till, you know, they start the camera running for anybody live streaming, never how you say that word, you know, and getting it straightened out. And that way we'll put everything in order. And we're glad to have our brother back there with us. He's not a visitor with us, Brother Dave. He's not visiting with us. He said the Lord got a hold of him out in Kansas and told him to get straightened up. So they had car trouble going that away. You know, both vans, I mean, both things broke down. The meeting was there, but that was worth it all. Okay? Worth it every bit. For God to touch somebody's heart and to say, okay, straighten up, let's go. All right. Let's pray and then read our scriptures. All right? Father, we thank you, we love you, and we ask you to just help us and guide us. We need you, Lord, this day to come among us to guide us and give us understanding of what to say. Bless those that are not here with us. Remember, Wade and June are traveling back. And just be with them tomorrow, Lord, and have your way with them today there as he's ministering. You sound a little croupy this morning when I talk to him. So just bless him and take care of him. And just let your love be made manifest in each one of the hearts and lives there and also here today. We just ask you to forgive our sins because we want to stand complete in you and to guide us in your love. Guide us now as we read and have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelations, because we're using this as just a basis for the part that we're in, but we're in Revelations 1:1-3. And the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and sent and signified by his angel unto his servant John, who by record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now remember, we were covering the other day, if I have time I'll get back to the end of the message, but we were covering how the word prophecy, it's a setting in order of scriptures, you know, in the book of Revelation then would be the summation of all of the things and bringing it down to a basis of setting everything in order and bringing it to that place. And I noticed it when I was looking up, studying on this a little this morning, that it says three times the testimony of Jesus. It says, testimony of Jesus Christ that we just read here. And then it says one time the testimony of Jesus. And then that's the spirit of prophecy. The testimony of Jesus, Revelation 19, I believe, says it's the spirit of prophecy. And see, that's setting in order of Scripture. So we're looking at the book of Revelations not as an addition to any of the writing, you know, or adding to the Bible or anything, but looking at it as the one that is prevalent or most important for our day, because it's going to show us who we are and what we're doing here in the book of Revelation, the one that we were told to stay away from. Because Satan doesn't want us to read the book of Revelation and to understand it. So then he attacks that and says, you can't understand it. Well, by way of the prophet's message, we can understand the things that are said and don't have to worry about it. See, we know what he said these things mean. And like I said, if you want to know what they mean, you take my Bible and read the side of it. I write down what he says these things are and everything, because I want to keep up with it myself. All right. Now, but it's the revelation of Jesus Christ that we read, that God gave to Jesus, all right, to give to John. Now, when you say, but Jesus was God, how is it that he didn't understand? Well, you have God in you. How is it you don't understand everything? Right. But see, he knew everything, but he didn't know about his coming, right? That was withholding from him. And the fact of what was going to be the future in the church. You know, the future part of the church, all right, was withholding from him. And here, when he comes to Patmos, he has went through the death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and then receives, the prophet said, from the Father of the future of what would be. All right? And see, then when it does, he can see the book of Revelation that I've tried to say to you. It is the one book written directly to you and I. The others would be written to the Ephesians, which means it's to us because, it's in the book. But it was written to the Corinthians. See? All right? But see, the book of Revelation is written to you and I. All right? It's our book. It's the most important book that we could think about because it shows the past, the present, and the future. All right? And it shows those things and brings into light the opening of the entire Word. So then whatever would not be comprehended. Now listen to this point. Brother Branham made a statement one time. He said, if you miss it in the seals and things, he said, come back to Christ the mystery. Now this is words. He said, come back to this message, Christ the mystery. See, then that would explain the seals and things into that order. All right? Now, so if you don't understand what is in, I know this is going to be reversed to what mankind thinks, but if you don't understand what's in Ephesians, are you listening? Go to the book of Revelation. Now, I pause for that to be thought about. And the emphasis is what? You don't understand the seals? He didn't say you had to go back and stay in the seals and keep reading, which you need to do. Well, what did he say? Come to the Christ the mystery. Because that would help you understand those things. All right? So if we don't understand the Godhead of John there, where it says God is a spirit, right? Then go to the book of Revelations. And it will explain that to us. It'll unfold it because it's the revealing, the making known. See? Go ahead and pull up number one, brother. Forgive me for my throat, but we talked a good bit last night. Then we was around 12 getting into bed and ate too much ice cream and sat around and talked too much, but really enjoyed it. Had a good time with Brother Benny and Sister Brenda. And, just listening to old things and thinking about where we've been down through time. But I guess it left my throat just aggravating enough, but that's all right. I can whisper. But don't. We'll draw it out on the board. We'll take care of it one way or the other. But look what he says now in the Church Age book. Page 13, this is the Revelation of Jesus Christ, which is actually called the Church Age book. Now, the Greek word for revelation is apocalypse, which means unveiling. This unveiling is perfectly described in the example of a sculpture unveiling his work of statuary, exposing it to the onlooker. It is an uncovering, revealing what was previously hidden. All right, now listen. Now, the uncovering is not only the revelation of the person of Christ. Listen. But is the revelation of his future works in the oncoming seven church ages. All right. Now, so it's not going to be dealing, and I've told you over and over, the book of Revelation, you never see Jesus by himself. You see him with his bride. You see him in his bride, revealing himself to his bride or whatever, But you never see him by himself. Because remember, on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost come and started the New Testament church, it was revealing Jesus Christ living in mankind. All right? Now we come, and we'll get just mention it more maybe this afternoon, Because, see, then you can get in the church ages and actually go back to the, and connect it to the book of Acts, because the first church age started about AD 53. That's where Paul coming through, you know. All right. So then it would tie back and connect it together, and the book of Revelation was written about AD 95. All right. Now, it's going to be revealing Christ in his church. Now, how much greater could that be than to find a book that we could read that's talking about us? I hope you anchor your teeth into that and think on it. We think, well, no, we can't understand the book of Revelation. Why not? The prophet has brought us to understand it. The symbols have been explained. But the biggest problem is we can't see ourselves. You know? And that's hard to look at because we look at ourselves in the wrong way. We look at how bad we are. And we'll get to it, the Lord willing, this afternoon, that before he even comes into the church ages to write, okay, you know, what's happening, what will take place on earth, he already describes how perfect the church is before he writes anything about what she's done. Now, record that in your mind. And it'll help you to see what God is doing. And it'll help you to understand how that the Lamb could be slain before the foundation of the world. And all could be done. Because surely if we believe in God, we ought to believe him enough to realize that he knows the beginning from the ending. If he doesn't, then he's like me and you, changing our mind every day. But we know that's not true. Now that's the emphasis of my whole thing. And I keep referring to it every service. To tie our minds into thinking about that we're talking about ourselves. It's not Armand Neville written in the Bible, right? But when Armand Neville's on earth and what he's doing, you know, what's taking place, he said his name's in the book. Well, then that's our names in the book. It's so simple until we stumble all over it. I always try to emphasize it, you know, the stumbling stone that people stumble over, you take a whole football field, you know, and there's nothing on it. I forgot, what is it wide? 50 yards wide, but it's 100 yards long. And nothing on it but lines drawn out. And there's one rock laying in the middle of it. And you're looking for it. Because the mankind was supposed to have been looking for God to come. And stumble over it, trying to find it. Now that's, you know, I know that's carnality, but it's pretty sensible too, if you to think about it. Let's don't stumble over the word trying to find it. It's already been delivered unto us, given into our hands. All right. So then it's the revelation of his future work. The Godhead is explained throughout the Bible. Life and immortality is brought to light through the Scriptures. All right? The Bible explains, and Jesus said, unless you believe that I am he, you'll die in your sins. All right? Then the book of Revelation is not just dealing with trying to explain the Godhead as much as it's dealing with explaining the Godhead and where it's at. That is in the people. And we're seeing a picture of ourselves, of how perfect we are in God's eyes before we ever even see it, you know, before it ever takes place. All right? Now, if you don't get nothing else, get that point, because that's what I want dwelling in our mind. All right? In the book of Revelations, we never see him alone. We see him in bride form. Or we see him with the bride. You know, like Revelation 19, you make riding with him, you know, and everything. and all, and we see the Lamb standing there. But it might be interesting one day when we get to Revelation 5 to talk about that Lamb. The Lamb that takes the book. That might be interesting when we get there. Because remember, that Lamb had seven horns and seven eyes. Right? Which is the church itself. Right? So put that down and think on it as we go along. All right. Now, it's the revelation that God gave to Jesus because he didn't understand when he would be coming back. He said, well, he was God, as I said a moment ago. He understood all things. No, it was withholding from him. All right. If God, I noticed Brother Richard Wilson the other day was mentioning it, what I always say, if God can have amnesia, oh, that's impossible. Well, evidently it's not. Because our sins can be put in the sea of forgetfulness, and God can't remember them. Well, I thought God could know everything. He does. But what he decides he don't want to remember. You know, and I don't mean this wrong now. I just try to think in a carnal way. You know, we think about Alzheimer's and all like that, every how you say those words. But, you know, have you ever thought about it? You look at a person sitting there and they can't remember. You know, I know I'm carnal, I know that, but forgive me. But you know, there's a lot of things I'd like to be able to not remember. Right. I mean, a lot of things I wish I couldn't remember. You know, well, are they cursed or are they blessed? You know, I just look at things different. I know it's a bad thing. But it's mainly because we. And you know, come on, I know I get in trouble trying to explain things, but still. You know, you go into people, and the first thing you do, you go in there, somebody that's real sick. What's the first thing? You remember me? Come on. Right? Isn't that 90% of the time? You remember me? You know who I am? Well, that sure ain't happened to person. He said, well, I just want to know if they can remember. Well, why? Why don't you tell them who you are? It might be like I told you before about my brother gave my mother a ring because, you know, Daddy never had one to give to her. My brother gave my mother a wedding band thing and, you know, it had a little stone in it. But he told her, he said, when you pass away, I want it back. Well, we were sitting there because we took care of her at the house. And, you know, and she was laying there, we thought, like in a coma, you know, whatever, just not saying nothing. And my brother wasn't taking it off. It was just turned over, and a little stone was pushed into her finger. And he just reached down and turned it back over, you know, to get it from pressing in. She said, leave it alone. I ain't dead yet. Well, you know. Why not think about life in a different form, in a way? Why you want to go in? Do you know who I am? Well, tell them who you are. Hey, I'm Sam. Are you doing all right? You said, well, you're telling them who you are? Well, it's the burden's on me and you. And to get to the point, we run a lot of things, and I don't mean to get into all that. I don't charge for those things. But listen, church. I think it's about time to realize who we are and our purpose for being here. It's not too good of a day to try to figure out what we're going to do and what we're going to have. Because tomorrow we might not have. You know, it's the time to realize who we are. God's got a purpose for you and I to find out who we are. Brother Branham said, I'm not the son of Charles and Ella Branham. He wasn't denying his family. He said, but I found out I'm a child of God. It's time you and I realize who we are. And our purpose for being here is to conquer Satan. Well, that can't be done. Well, see, there's where you just, first off, you lied, because the Bible says we can. It said all things are possible to them that believe. So you're lying about it, and you're not facing up to what... See, we're chosen for an end time to bring somebody's got to come to a change of the body, right? But how can we come to a change of the body if we don't realize who we are and our purpose for being here? All right? Then maybe it'll work, all right? Jesus didn't know when he was coming. Right. And the prophet said, in the same way, he didn't know what was going to be in the future about the church. You know, the operation, the daily part, the him being in the church. He knew he came to die. He knew that things, but see, I know I think carnal, but as I said, God, if God can have amnesia, why can't we think of Jesus being a human enough to where that things had to be made known to him? See, that was that inside making outside known, right? And see, then God had never made, the God inside of him had never made known to the outside man. He is part of what was going to be. But see, I believe that one day when they handed him the scroll, you know, and he sat down there and he read Isaiah. And when he read Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to... You know. See, he only read half because when he started reading it, it was made alive. So he stopped and didn't read the rest of it. So because that'll be for another day. Then he looked back and he said, this day, this scripture is revealed to me. See? All right, when are we going to do that? To get to that point. All right, get on in what we're trying to do. He didn't know when he would come, and he didn't know his part in the kingdom. My point is trying to get one thing. See? That God has come to John on Patmos. See? To reveal the future of the church. All right. And as I say, we basically, most of the time reading the Bible, we read the Bible to try to find out how bad we are. Right? We want to know what we've done. Does the Bible say it's wrong? Does Brother Moat used to say, Brother Moat had a point of funny way of expressing it. He said, you know, he's talking about stealing. He said, you know, the Bible don't say thou shalt not steal chicken. It don't say that. There's scripture in there. But see, it tells you not to steal. See? So then it would cover all animals. All right. But you see, then, are we reading the Bible to try to find out what God is saying about us? Or are we trying to find out what he's saying the bad part about us? Sure, we want to get rid of the things of our life, right? Sure, we want to quit things that God says we shouldn't be doing. And we want to do the things that he said we should be doing, right? But why can't we read it to find out who we are? The entire Bible is written to show us who we are. Then the book of Revelation caps it off by actually showing us. When something is revealed to you, you know that's as real as almost that you can make it, right? If, like Brother Brown would say, he said, if God told me to go raise George Washington from the dead, he said, I'd invite the world. Why? Because if he showed him he was raised, George Washington was already raised as far as he was concerned, right? See, that's the way a revelation is. So when God shows the church, what I love, and I'll try not to spend much time in it because I'm wanting to get on over. But see, I love to read and see like verse 1 maybe of the church age and how bad we are. And like I said, what we need to get rid of. That's fine. But I like to read the last verses to that age because every one of them says, to him that overcometh. Well, you know, as far as God is concerned, he's not seeing what we're doing. If he was seeing what we were doing, he'd have to kill us for doing it. But he sees the Lamb that paid the price. So he's not looking at us. Well, see, that's where that most of you preachers preach, what you're doing and what you're not doing. Now, come on, Furls, I'm not that bad. Just try to express it a little. But you know it's true. They spend their time trying to condemn you, to straighten you up. The Lord called me to straighten the church up. No, the Lord called me to preach the gospel, it'll straighten the church up. He didn't call me to straighten up the church. That's bad business because who am I going to start with? I'd have to start in the pulpit first. I never would be able to get out of the pulpit. Right? Because every time I get one thing straight, have you ever done that? You ever had something bothering you? You think, if I could get over this, oh, will it be wonderful if I get over this? You get over that. And it's pretty good for a little while. You know, you run, but all at once, here goes something else. Then you got to start working on that one. See? Because we're just human mortals. All right. Well, see, we need to get down to the point of believing that the Bible is telling us who we are. And not only does God tell us who we are, you know, we're his children. We're his offspring. All right? But he's telling us how precious we are in his sight. He's telling us what we look like through his eyes. You say, well, boy, that's bad because of what he looked. No, because he can't see us. He only sees the blood. He can't see what we're doing. See, church, that's what I'm trying to get us to understand. Then the book of Revelation is just summing up and showing who we are. You say, but Brother Dale, if we go too far into that, we'll go out into the world and no matter what we do. You prove you're lost and you do that. You prove you're lost. You think you can get by, you're deceiving your own self. By him revealing to me how perfect I am, you know where that carries me? To my knees. Because I know what I am. I don't have to be told what I am. I know what I am. So then it'd be in that way, when he starts telling me what he thinks about me, you know? I mean, if you want to really have a day long or something, just get all of these sisters together with their brag books. You know, them pictures of the kids and the grandkids. And, you know. Well, you know, you don't start out and, you know, and look down and there's a baby and then they grow up, you know. You don't look down at the baby and say, that dirty rascal is a drug addict. He's a... Don't talk to mama about her kids, okay? Right? You get into trouble. If you want to get along with grandmas, you talk with grandmas about the good things, you know. You don't go off on the kids or the grandkids, see? Because they, you know, they're blind. They just can't see it. Now, they know it happened. But get what I'm saying? They look at the baby. And they don't think about all of it. It has to see later pictures. It makes them start thinking about the wrong things in life. Well, you know, God don't have no later pictures. He made one picture of you and I. And you know what I like about it? We can put all the emphasis in how old we was, 18, 20 years old or something, you know. Prime of life, the thing. But, you know, most people don't never read enough to realize where that picture was made. Well, what do you mean it was made when I was 18, 20? No. It was made before the foundation of the world, the prophet said. It wasn't made, Sister Gail, when you was 18 or 20 in your prime. It was made before the world. Well, then it's not a picture of you at 18, 20. Right? It's a picture of what he sees. Oh, they can take these things now, you know, and they can take an old ugly face like mine and they can just doctor that up. And man, they, you know, they make you look good. But it don't change nothing. I can put on all kind of stuff to make me look good. It don't change a thing, you know. But just get what I'm saying. God thought so much of his bride in the end time. And I keep emphasizing that because you know yourself what you think. Now, how many of you think this way? I wish I'd have been back there. Right? I wish I'd have been there when Jesus was this or that. I wish I'd have been back there when Brother Branham was here. No, I'm glad to be here. I mean, there's no way I want to race. We were talking about that this morning. I wouldn't want to race my life for nothing. I've told you over and over. There's a lot of things in my life I don't like. I wish I could get rid of without changing me. But you know, if I got rid of them things, I wouldn't be who I am. So, good or bad, I just take it like it is. What I've been through in life has made me what I am. But what about God not even seeing us wrong? I can't get away from that point. That's just, you know, let's see. Now, look. He's revealing his presence to us. All right? So let's start in a little bit. I didn't think you're going to be on this, but all right? Let's just read a little bit of the things that you understand. But let's go to verse 4 of Brother Anderson, is there any way for you to pull up, because you was on 3 a while ago, and these can scroll down. You was on 1, 2, 3, Revelations 1. Can you pull Revelations 1, 4, like through 8, up and just scroll it, you know? And while they're working on that to get it, I want you to notice something that's very odd to me. Anytime God repeats something, it means like where he says, verily, verily, I say unto you. All right. Now, for him to repeat something, the prophet said it one day like this. He said he's emphasizing, you know, laying emphasis upon the point. So when he says, verily, verily, surely, surely, I say unto these here or something. He's emphasizing it. Now, what I want you to do, I've never counted to see how many they are, but we're going to read verse 1 through down through 8. In Revelations 1. But I want you to notice how many times it says and. All right? Then in your mind, translate the word from and to even. Because that's an interchangeable word. Every time that and is used, it's not meaning even, but, you know, like Paul said, to God and Father. That's two people. God and, see? But when you say God even Father, it totally changed the thought, didn't it? You come back to one understanding of who it is. There's not two gods. See? So then use that in your mind and think about it. But now, just notice how many times that when you get down, we'll start on verse 4, brother, so roll it up to the top if you want to. John, to the 7 churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you. And, you don't have to move it to there, but that's good. Even peace. From him which is, and. Now, for a second, what I'm talking about, when it's used as and, I'll use the word even, okay? So then we'll read it. John to the seven church ages which are in Asia, grace be unto you, even peace from him which is, even which was, even which is to come. Emphasizing the one, even from the seven spirits which are before his throne. See? Now, we've got them here if you need them, so there's no need of scrolling even up in it to find them. But there's not seven spirits of God. See? And I have a quote in here. If I get time, we'll get back and read it, where Brother Branham said it's like explaining in Corinthians about the gifts and things. He said it's one Holy Spirit with nine gifts. Right? All right. So it's seven times God uses the Spirit of God down through the ages, and that's the emphasis I put on to the last message, of the Holy Spirit in every age. To make it be in our minds and line up that it's not seven spirits. God don't have seven Holy Spirits. It's one Holy Spirit manifesting himself in seven ways through the seven church age messengers. All right? It's one Holy Spirit manifesting himself in the millions of born-again Christians that from there up until now. Not a different Holy Spirit. So then when you talk about it, it's the Word that was eaten down in the ages, not the Holy Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit in those ages. That was the emphasis. All right, now we're coming up to the point of what? From the seven spirits. Not seven spirits. Because if it was seven spirits, it'd be seven thrones. Right? So then you'd read it, seven spirits which are before seven thrones. Because you'd have to have a throne for each one of them. If not, you got a throne full of spirits. Right? You know, seven spirits sitting on one throne. Right? But you see, we needed the prophet to explain them things to us. And to emphasize the things to where that we would understand what it's talking about. It's talking about the church age messengers and the Spirit of God through those men and the Spirit of God in each church age. Giving the new birth to the people and leading the people in that age. All right? Now watch. So keeping our point now, verse 5. Even from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, even the first begotten of the dead, even the prince of the kings of the earth. See? There's no emphasis made then upon Trinitarianism in any form. That's what I'm trying to erase from our minds. You say, well, Brother Dale, what do you mean? I've never been a Trinitarian. I never was out there. I don't understand the doctrine. He's born one. He's born one. We were born with a carnal mind, right? To not be able to understand. So then it just keeps on going. Unto him that loved us, even washed us from our sins in his own blood. I'm just emphasizing it. That he's showing us. This is a description of you and I. It's a description of him, yes. But where's he at? He's in you and I, manifesting himself, and has made us kings, even priests, verse 6, unto God, even his Father, to him be glory, even dominion, forever, even ever. They're just emphasizing the point. Right? He's showing a picture of you and I. Starts right off in the book of Revelations, telling us it's a revelation that's going to be given to Jesus Christ of himself and his works in the church. All right? That 1-3 there we've been reading. All right? And then it would be showing the bride and what he thinks of us. Before he ever gets to chapter 2 to start writing about what we've done, he's already telling us how perfect we are. Well, see, our problem is we look through our own eyes. Not only at other people, we look at our own selves. Now, sometimes we lie to ourselves and tell us how beautiful we are, but we got enough sense to know. Right? Like I've always told you, there's more muscles strained by weightlifters in front of a mirror, you know, doing the pumping their muscles than there are pulling on the weights, you know. But there's no need of lying. I know I get in trouble by trying to say things, and then I say that something like my wife, you know, and she'll say, well, why'd you bring that out? I don't look as pretty as I did. No, we're not as pretty as we used to be. But in my eyes, she's just as beautiful as she was the day I married her. Why? Because she's my wife and I love her. Huh? Yeah, I know I'm not the guy she married. I'm old. But her eyes has got dim. Right? She can't see as good as she used to. You know? You have to be along with her in that, because you put a hair on the floor and she can find it. Anything I lose, I say, come here, honey. Find the screw. I done looked all over the place. She looked, well, there it is. Why didn't you see that one? You know. But, see, that's just life. All right. But now get the point. It's not seven spirits. It's the Holy Spirit dealing in the church ages. All right. Now, in doing that, it connects to every verse to show us the and. The and. As even. Not another one. Not and meaning one thing and then another one. You see, if you read it this way, you go to town and get a loaf of bread and a pound of bananas. All right? Now, you don't read that. You go to town and get a loaf of bread, even a pound of bananas. Now, you done left one of them out. Right? Come on, I know that's carnal, but is it sensible? You left one of those off. You're only going to get one. But when God says, God and Father, God, even Father, he's not talking about two people. He's talking about the one person and how beautiful it is. All right, now, I want to emphasize a minute one thing. Do we believe we are the children of God? By the new birth. All right. Do we believe the Bible and what it says? We are his offspring. All right. Now, if we are the children of God, then you can run a DNA to find out whether we're real or not. Now, that's the word, you know. That's what they do. Right? To find out whether we're really the children of God is to go into the Word. It's not go down and find out how we shout and scream and glory, hallelujah, and all that's well and good. You know, and how we are and how good we are. It's to go and see what we think about this Word. Because this Word not only was my Father writing to me, this Word is my Father writing about me. Now, can you separate? You know, we have Wade, Terrence, Anna. Now, can you separate them from me? Irregardless if Anna got married. See, and her maiden name changed to Roberts. All right. I mean, her name changed to Roberts. Her maiden name was Dale. She got Dale blood. All right. And it'll never change. See, because your children are you reproduced. Right? The DNA proves it, the things that we run through. Well, what about in God? When, see, in natural, they had to be what's the word, procreating? Is that the one that you use? You know, they had to be something take place between me and my wife to bring the kids. All right? But see, in God, by the new birth, he didn't just make us another person. By the new birth, he makes you his offspring, which is him in another form. Right? You say, well, I'm a son of God. You see, a lot of people believe in Trinitarianism, right? Now, which one are you? in Trinitarianism, which one are you? Are you a son of Jesus? Are you a son of God? Are you a son of the Holy Spirit? So Trinitarianism won't work. You would be divided up in trying to figure out where you come from. But in the one true and living God, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is the same Lord Jesus Christ. Right? All right. So then that would make you God made manifest in another form. Is that true? See, we're not just the offspring. Like some offspring that is made. We are Him made manifest. So He's not describing you and I in the book of Revelations. Come on, you understand? Follow that wording. He's not describing what you're looking at. He's not describing Samuel Dale and his attitudes and ways and things and doings. That's the part of the church ages that he always has to kind of click us a little bit. But he's talking about himself in you and I. Not another person, but himself made manifest in you and I. Well, Brother Dale, if I believed that, I'd be shouting. Well, why don't you shout? Right? When I think about what God says, we've thought long enough about what we thought. We've talked long enough about ourselves. I like that song, you know, said, what sins are you talking about? Yeah. But you can't, I always say it over and over, you can't accuse my daddy. He's been dead since 1945. You can't accuse him of doing something today. Right. And even if I done something, it's not credited to him. See? He's dead. All right. If we be dead in Christ, then why can't we start looking at that? Hey, listen, folks. See, some people are worried that you preach to people and get them too free. Now, don't you worry about it. Because the devil ain't going to let you get free. If he does, you belong to him. If you ever get the idea, well, it don't matter what I do, I'm a Christian. All right, you're not a Christian. Is that sensible? You're the devil's child. You're deceived. Well, I can get by with it because I'm a Christian. No, you can't get by. Brother Ryan said, you sin a sin as a Christian, you'll reap a tubful. Don't you worry about it. The devil's going to keep beating on us to keep us from getting to the place that we find out we're too perfect. He's going to beat on us so much until God's going to have to cut the work short. If he don't, there ain't going to be no flesh saved. That's what the Bible says and the prophet says it. And see, we say, well, bless God, Brother Dale, I can't be deceived. You're quoting good. You're talking good. But when are you going to do where the prophet said, if, and the Bible says, if he didn't cut the work short, there'd be no flesh saved. Now, what are you going to do that? What are you going to do with the prophet saying, you know, that we sin every day? What are you going to do with those type of things? But see, we got to get to the basis of seeing the way God sees things. That's where our problem is, because that's the point of what we're talking about. We'll get to. Because you're going down to verse 9 of what we've been there, and he said, John, he said he was in the Spirit. All right. Now, we know enough to know all of the things. We don't need the quotes. I've got them laying here if you'd like them. Where the prophet talks about you go to a ball game. You don't go down to a ball game and sit there like a wallflower. You know, whenever your teams are winning, and oh, that was good. Or you do like the kids. That was cool. Me and Zach was going to Jefferson one day, and there's a guy right in front of us just smacked the far out of the back of a car, and Zach was about 12, years old, 10 or 12. And this guy run right in, pow, and hit that guy in the back. Zach looked over me, he said, that was cool, wasn't it? Well, I didn't think it was too cool, and I'm sure the guy that got run into didn't think it was too cool. That was just him. No, cool. All right. But listen, church. If you get in the Spirit, you know that Brother Brown said you cannot get the Holy Spirit without getting in the Spirit. Now, he didn't say the Spirit fall on you and then you get in the Spirit. Huh? He says you can't get in the Spirit. You know, you got to get in the Spirit to get the Holy Spirit. Huh? Please think about it. Getting in the Spirit. But do we pray for a revelation? How many today prayed that God would speak to you this morning here in the church before you came? You know, I mean, you don't have to get down and beg him to do it. I'm just talking about, you know, on the road you're thinking, driving up the road, say, Lord, I sure do hope it's a good service today. Well, see, I count that as talking to God. You know, you can be in a prayerful attitude and never get down on your knees and pray and do all of those things. You can just live in a prayerful attitude. You ever just go around thanking God for what he's done? You ever do that? Just thank him. I get up in the middle of the night and go to the bathroom, you know, and everything, and then I thank him for getting me up and letting me go to the bathroom. You know, like we read, a lot of people ain't capable of doing that. I got catheters to take care of that problem. But listen, church, we need to get in the Spirit more than anything in the world. Now, we get in the Spirit of everything we do in life and living and things like that. That's all. And I'm not one to say you can't go to the ball game. You know. But if you emphasize the ball game above the church, then you're missing it. You go to the ball games and the things like that, hunting, fishing, whatever you're doing, and you go do it deliberately on Sunday and miss the services, then there's something wrong. I'm just honest. But if we just in the Spirit, can live in the Spirit. Let's run through these in a hurry, okay? Because there's some in there I want to make sure we just read them. Go ahead, brother, and pull up. All right. That's the one that I meant to there a while ago, because this is explaining the seven spirits. To begin with, this is taken from 248 Church Age book, Sardisian Church Age. To begin with, we know for certain that these verses are not teaching a new and contrary doctrine to John 4:24a, which says God is a one spirit. But this is like 1 Corinthians 12:8 through 11, wherein we find one spirit manifesting himself in nine ways. Thus we know that the seven spirits of God mean it is the one and same spirit coming forth in a sevenfold way. Go ahead and screw the other and we'll read as fast as we can. It is very evident that the word they refers to men. Thus we see that the eyes of the Lord in this instance, because that's what he's talking about, to plummet to Zerubbabel and the eyes of the Lord. Of course, they will be be anointed men full of the Holy Ghost, for God's ministries are not in the power of men, but of the Holy Ghost. Putting our scriptures discoveries together, it is evident that the seven spirits of God refer to the continuous ministry of the same Holy Spirit in the lives of seven men with whom God identifies himself very closely. They are his eyes and they are his lamps. Who these seven men are can easily be seen because the next verse calls them the seven stars, which is already knows, which is the messenger of the age. Go ahead to the next. All right. Yes. This is 251 Church Age book. Yes, the Spirit is not seven spirits, but one. He will always be the same and act the same. All right, now. And the seven messengers will have the same spirit and teach the same word and have the same power. If the church is the true church, it will have the very same spirit and word and acts of power that they had at Pentecost. By experience, it will be a Pentecostal church, and there will be tongues and interpretation and prophecy and healings. God will be in the midst of her, and God will declare himself in the midst of her as he always has. Hallelujah. And she will be unorganized. Don't forget that. Now you say, well, we don't have tongues. We don't have shouting. You mean we don't have it? You know what you're saying? You're saying, y'all don't have it. You're not saying we. Right? You're saying it's everybody else's fault. So if you think that we don't have tongues and interpretation, why don't you do something about it? And shut up griping about what everybody else and thinking, y'all don't have it. I'm in the Spirit. Well, won't you act like it? Like I always tell everybody, you know, if you're happy, let your face know it. Right? Come on, get the next one. Okay? Now, this is talking about getting in the Spirit. This is the one I want to get to. And you can't do any good until first you get in the Spirit. God can't use you. Okay? He stutters real good, don't he? All your efforts are in vain until first you do it in the Spirit. If I will sing, I will sing in the Spirit. If I'll pray, said Paul, I'll pray in the Spirit. And then if there is anything that comes to me that's any good, it has to be revealed to me by the Spirit and confirmed by the Word, made manifest by the results it bears. Okay? So now, it's our problem. If we don't get in the Spirit, God can't use us. You come in and sit down like a sired up prune and want everybody else to... Why is everybody else not happy today? You know that Brother Branham says, one person can hinder the Spirit of God. And we'll have to give an account. He said at judgment for that. There are certain people that I don't want to come to church here. Brother Dale. No, you know why? Because they've never changed yet, and they can come in here and lock this place down. Because everybody's got in the Spirit of that person. Well, Brother Dale's mean, I know it. But I have to fight him every service. Well, why don't you just tell the person to leave? Then see, that way I wouldn't be loving the person. I love people and I want them to be helped. So there's not a person in the world I don't want to see in this church. Did that change it around where you can understand what I'm talking about? I want everybody to come, but I want us all to be in the Spirit of God and be happy and joyous and be, you know, rejoicing about God's Word. All right? Now, go ahead with the next one. All right. Now, this is the Patmos Vision, 1960. This is 1204, which is the series on. All right. Now, was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Now, remember, the first thing you have to do is what? Get in the Spirit. Here's how these revelations going to ever come to you. You know why most people don't get a revelation? Right here it is. They don't get a revelation because they don't get in the Spirit to receive it. Right? How's these revelations going to ever come to you? Get in the Spirit. How are you ever going to get the Holy Ghost? Get in the Spirit. Was that right what I said a while ago? How are you going to get the Holy Spirit? You got to get in the Spirit to get the Holy Spirit. Well, now, Lord, you can give it to me anytime you want to. You know I want it. You know I love you, Lord. That means told him today that you love him. Or you like the fella was, you know, that his wife said, honey, you told me when you loved me, when you married me that day that you loved me, and said, it's 20 years now and you ain't never told me again. He said, if I ever change my mind, I'll let you know. Well, is that the way we would thank God over what he's dealing? That if, you know, change my mind, Lord, I'll tell you I love you. Now, that's not exactly the way it's supposed to be. All right. Now, go ahead to the next one. This is off the Patmos Vision Church Age book now, page 43. I was in the Spirit. Isn't that just beautiful? My, I love that. If you could just call these words the whole of the Christian life. What? Getting in the Spirit. If we are going to live as Christians, we have to be in His Spirit. John was not talking about being in his own spirit. That would not have brought these visions. Now, come on. John on Patmos wouldn't talk about being in his own spirit. It wouldn't have brought the vision. It had to be the Spirit of God. It has to be the Spirit of God with us to all our efforts are in vain. Paul said, I will pray in the Spirit. I will sing in the Spirit. I live in the Spirit. If there's anything good that will come to me, it has to be revealed by the Spirit, confirmed by the Word, and made manifest by the results it bears. As surely as John needed to be in the Spirit to receive these tremendous revelations fresh from Jesus, we need to be in the Spirit in the Spirit to understand the revelation that God has given to us to live by in His Word, for it is the same Spirit. Go on to the next. This is Patmos Vision, paragraph 40, or page 42. Oh, we need to get in the Spirit, and then things will be done. Don't go through the Acts first. Acts means we come to church today. Right? We come to church today. That's the Acts. All right. But what should we come to church for? Don't go through the Acts first. Get in the Spirit and then go through the Acts and watch what God will do. Go ahead to the next one. This is the Patmos Vision. We're going back to the church age, part 6, 1960. In the Spirit on the Lord's Day, we hear it now. We hear it. Now what? Now, what was he doing? He was transferred from the aisle now in the Spirit over into the Lord's Day. And as soon as he got over into the Lord's Day, he heard a trumpet. What is it? It's somebody approaching. A great one's approaching. Trumpet sound. Somebody's coming. He looked. Hallelujah. And watch. Saying, I am Alpha and Omega. This is the one. All right. So watch. Before I show you anything. Now you're reading. Before I show you anything, I want to let you know who I am. All right. Now, there I'm coming back to the point I was trying to emphasize to start with. In the book of Revelation is God revealing himself to a church, you know, a distance away or something. Or is he revealing himself in the church? My emphasis on this whole thing is he's revealing himself in the church. He's revealing where he's at. He's in the church. He's in the bride. Not in the church. There's a difference in the bride and the church. But see, the church is going through the tribulation, right? But the bride ain't. All right, so there's a difference in it. But he's using those wording. Watch. Before I say, show you anything, I want to let you know who I am. The greatest of all the revelations is the deity. The supreme deity of our Lord Jesus Christ. You can't get to first base until you believe that and walk out. All right. So fine. Brother Gary and I talking one day about something, and he said, well, I see that in us or something like that. And I said, Brother Gary, you can't do it. You've got to see it in Jesus first. See, we've got to see one true and living God. And Jesus being that God. All right. But then when we see who he is, then he reveals where he's at. You realize the revelation, Brother Colley, of one God to you is God telling you where he's at. I said it a moment ago. You agreed with it. A revelation is eternal word of God revealed. How much more would you want than what something revealed to you? See, when it's revealed to you, you don't have to worry about it. I know I should have done it on more, and I just emphasize a point, but I've looked for the Lord to come every day. I want him to come every day. But when he revealed to me that we was missing on Daniel 70 weeks, the time of his coming, then I began to preach that we could pass 77. You know, I still, that was 73, 74. I was wanting him to come. But I was just saying it could be done. But you know, when he showed me that it could be done, I should have said, it's thus saith the Lord, he can't come till after 77. That was the way I should have said it. But I'm not that strong in what you think. No. I still wanted him to come. 72, 73, 74, 75, I wanted him to come. But I knew he didn't have to fulfill the Bible or the prophet's message. So where the others were saying that he had to come, I was saying he could be longer because he'd revealed it to me, that it could pass there. You ever got a revelation? You stand by yourself? You know that I'm honest and I'm not bragging, just telling like it is. When I said that in 74, I stood by myself. Now, Brother Richard and them will hear that. They know it's true. But I didn't know them back then. Brother Woodby and them, I got acquainted with them long in 74, but I'd already preached it. When I preached that it could pass 77, I stood by myself. Then my wife began to see and talk to me about it and things. And then some people begin to catch on and listen a little. But I stood by myself. You tell me I didn't. Come show me. You tell me it's anybody else that said it that way. I know that don't fit good in your pocket. But chew on it. I've got the tapes to prove that what I preached. And that's bragging on Jesus Christ for what he showed me. I can't help it if he chose me to bring it. That wasn't what I wanted. I wanted it to be through anybody else. But when you get a revelation, now what was we read there the other day? When the bride of Christ gets a revelation of who she is, and what she's here for, that she'll be a super race, a super people. Why? Because nobody can argue with it. I told you about when I told the dream of Anna and Forrest being born. Way before that, that they was even born. That Brother Mold would have a little boy and we'd have a girl and she'd be about, maybe 6, 7, 8 years old, whatever. And that was about 72. And see, everybody laughed at me and said, "You're going to miss the rapture." Because it had to be over in 73. I said, "I'm just telling a dream like a dream. I saw a girl with long black hair and a boy that Brother Moat was supposed to have a boy and we're supposed to have a girl. I just told a dream it's a dream." But you see, it took them to pass. Well, it must have been something. Well, the reason it is because it, well, that's all right. The reason it is because the bride ain't ready. That's the reason. That's the reason we ain't got out of here. You know what? We ain't believing what God says about us. We ain't believing what he says in his word. When I read Malachi 3 and Malachi 4, I told my wife, and that was in the Baptist, before I ever even joined the Baptist church. I said, according to what the Bible says, there'd be two prophets coming before the end of the world. I believe what it said. But when Brother Moat said Malachi 4, I said, what about Malachi 3? Who's that? He explained John the Baptist and Brother Brown's ministry, and I said, that settles that. But you see, I seen by the Bible that that's what it would take place. The Bible says there'd be pestilence, like some of us were talking the other day. You know this, what kind of prayer could you pray? Is there any way that you could pray for the economy to straighten out? I want somebody to get in the Bible with me. I want you talking the Bible with me. I don't want just your opinions. Pray for your economy to get straightened out. And that'll work to help you. But you're praying contrary to the Bible if you ask God to straighten out this economy and make it work. You're praying contrary to the Bible if you ask God to not bring pestilence and things upon the earth because he said he was going to do it. You can pray for God not to let it come on you and your family or whatever. That's wonderful. That's Bible. But you can't pray for God to change his mind about his word. He's already said it's going to take place. You can't pray for God to straighten out all of this situations of the doctrines and the ideas of mankind, because he said they would be here. But you can pray for him to straighten your doctrine, your idea out. See? Then that way the whole world can be falling apart and you can be flooding in money. I mean, that's as honest as I mean it. Because God can take care of you. But you can't pray for those things to happen. Well, Lord, we're going down here and pray for the empty hospital. The prophet said, it is not in the Bible. It won't work. Because God said there would be sicknesses and heartaches and troubles. But you can pray for it to be straight in your life or your family or whatever, to ask for somebody. And God can honor that. I hope you understand that. Don't blank off me when I said that a while ago. A lot of people do that. When I say something, their computer just shuts down and they don't even hear the rest of what I say. You know, the mind, the computer. But you see, church, we can, let me ask you this way. Do you believe the Bible says that there will be pestilence, earthquakes, great destruction come upon the earth? Do you believe that? Everybody believe that? Say amen. Now, you shouldn't have done that. Because I'm going to ask you another question. Do you believe the book of Revelation shows you how perfect you are? I got one yes and three or four nods. Not an amen. Okay, got an amen. Now, you see, you can believe this other part. But it brought it back personal. See, there's where we're missing it, church. We can read the Bible and see all these things as to take place, and we know it will. But when we read the Bible, it's telling us how perfect we are. And that we're his body, we're his people. And then we slow down, right? Well, in a way, I guess that could be right. They ain't no in the way, you're getting in the way. When you're doing that, when are we going to believe what God says? Come on, musician. When are we going to believe it? We believe all the other. The people of this message puts their, and come on now, folks, listen to what I'm saying. They put their emphasis up on trying to prove Brother Branham is a prophet. Amen. That's good, right? But the same Bible says you're perfect. Come on. Right? The same Bible told you, shows you how pretty you are. Showed how beautiful that you are. And what about it? Do we believe that? So now if you believe one, you got to believe the other. Because if you deny one, may I quote the prophet? You're denying the other. If you deny that in God's eyes you're perfect, then you deny the blood of Jesus Christ. But Brother Dale, I just got so many problems. What's that got to do with it? Huh? I got a lot of problems, right? I'm a human. I got a lot of problems. I'm a sassy, hateful, arrogant husband. But you know what? My wife loves me. She must. She puts up with me. Huh? So she's evidently looking over what I'm doing. Right? You know, that's the way God is. He ain't a doty old granddaddy. He's a father. Let's stand together. Anybody has a need, the altar's open. My soul and my Savior. Nothing between. Have you? you have a need, then just come and believe. Come and believe and just see and accept.
I soon am a Savior, so that His blessed face may be seen. Nothing remitting the least of His favor. Keep the way
Savior. And just believe you and say that by your stripes, He's healed. And it's what we can believe and we accept it. And Father, just let your love come down and manifest itself to take away the problem. We believe you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Just go confess it and believe it. And walk right into it. Anybody else? Developing a crouping cough. Everybody about got it, hasn't it? So we can sympathize with him and pray and believe. Right? It don't mean he's got to have it because the rest of us has got it. No. God can take care of him, can't he? You believe it? Amen. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for touching our little buddy, this old crouping cough and thing that's bothering him. We condemn it through the blood of Jesus Christ. And we thank you. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? My soul. Nothing between. Just walk on in the Word and just watch it unfold. Brother Brown said, "When I believe it's this evening message, when you see Jesus, see the Word, you're seeing Jesus. And why are you looking up there for him? Why are you wanting him to come down here? He's already down here. He's the Word. Our brother's going to go this afternoon to try to see if he can contact, you know, Brother Rick. There they got him in jail. And it looks bad. It's not a sensible thing. It's whether they trumped up the charges or whether he was guilty. No problem. He could face as much as 40 years because of the different accounts, like 4 felonies or something like that, 5 felonies. Each one could give him 10 years or something. Well, pray. Pray for his family, his wife, kids and things. Well, let's just pray. And let God come on the scene and work it out. Because he can work out things. Alright? But you see, we try to get into that basis of trying to, well, he shouldn't have done this and he shouldn't have done that. Right? There's no need to pray in that way. Pray that God will come on the scene and touch the brother. Give our brother the words to be able to go to him and talk to him if he can, and pray that he can contact him or somebody that he can do. But I've already told Brother Boyd this part. He said something about it, and I'll be glad to go, that maybe, you know, somebody from the church or minister could go and stand there with him at the time of, you know, the counting the sentence, and I'll be glad to go and stand there and just say, "Your Honor, I'm here to say he come to church for 2 years and I don't have any problems with him, you know, but I wouldn't lie and tell him that everything was perfect or whatever. I'd just say, 'Your Honor, that's the way we stand,' you know, because, you know, he needs help." Well, let's pray that God will have him, all right? Father, we just lay our hands upon our brother, believing that he'll go this afternoon there and he'll be able to contact our brother. And Lord, just let him know we're all praying for him. And Father, whatever the thing of whatever's done that's left into your hands to be able to work out something to where you can do it, And we believe you, Lord, that you'll manifest yourself, because your little bride's asking for it. And Father, it's not that Satan has come in to take out one of our members, because he's not going to be able to take him out if we just hold on to you. But he's got a lot of problems and a lot of troubles, Lord. We'd like to see those things straightened out, see him in the right place. And you're the only one that can do it. So we just ask you, Father, to be with our brother here and be with Rick there, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Just go believe it.
Nothing between my soul and
anybody else. Let nothing be between. Let all things be right. You heard our sister, Lord. She's standing for somebody else. That's a good point. They need you, Lord. So just touch down and make it manifest. And let our sister here see that you're working and what you're doing. We believe you, Father. In Jesus' name. Our brother's got a problem with suffering but can't sleep at night. Some of you got some problems that way. So just pray with him. Father, we know what Satan's trying to do. But our brother's made a commitment. Made a statement. Tried to move on with you. Satan, he don't like that. So he changes things to try to make it worse. But Lord Jesus, just reach down and deliver our brother from this. The problems of life, we ask you to take them away. And let him just walk on in you, Lord, and to be what you want him to be. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Between anybody else? Nothing. Between. Right?
So that his blessed face may be seen. Nothing remitting the least of his favor. So keep the way clear. Let nothing.
Our sister's asking for somebody else. Just touch the family, Lord, and let them see you in the whole thing, Lord. See you manifest yourself. And just be a comfort to those that need it, and be a guide to those who need understanding. But thank you that our sister would have that on her mind or thought about somebody else. And Lord, we love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. No. Anybody else that just have a need?
Nothing between my soul and the Savior, so that his blessed face may be seen. Nothing preventing the least of his favor. Keep the way clear. Let nothing
between. Let's just believe this will take place then. Father, our brother's asking for his mother. She's having a lot of trouble with her shoulders and things, and old tendons and things that science calls them. She's not able to lift her arms. She's always prided herself in trying to help others, cooking and doing. And Lord, just restore that unto her. Let everything take place. You've healed her body. You've taken cancer away.
Yes, Lord.
And this is as simple a thing as that is. So we believe it, Father, in Jesus'
name. Thank you, Lord.
Just believe it. Anybody else, just believe it. Savior,
pray so that it lives.
Father, our buddy's got also a problem that he can't sleep at night, Lord. So just reach down and touch him, Father. And let everything be cleared out of the way. He'll be all right in Jesus' name. Anybody else? The way clear, there's nothing between. Is that what you want? Nothing between my soul and my Savior. I want it to be the word that I can always make contact. But you know what? I can't make contact a lot of times because I condemn my own self. And that's fine. I need to straighten up. No problem with that. But you know, a lot of times the devil condemns you when you ain't guilty. You know. But then you need help to be able to just say, get out of here, you know. Get things gone and get on, Satan, and leave us alone. Amen. You believe it? Amen. Just remember this. Father, we ask you to just bless us. Be with each one of us as we go our way to eat a natural meal. Bring us back together in you, Lord. Forgive our sins. Lead us and guide us. We believe all of these that came today is delivered, healed, set free, because we believe your word. Truly, we don't want nothing between our soul and our Savior. We love you, Father. Thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.